do that, I think. But then Paul goes on even further. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you'll heap burning coals on his head. Now, some take this idea of burning coals as a symbol of judgment or of shame or remorse. But I like to think, actually, that the coals are a symbol of penitence, a symbol of a dramatic change of mind which takes place as a result of an action of love. That someone's love for someone who does bad seeks to turn their mind to good. We do not retaliate, like for like, tit for tat, but we should serve our enemies' welfare. The love we spoke of in the first part of this passage, the Christian love for each other and the world at large, is actually also applied to those who do wrong, to those who seek ill for us. And this is the principle that operated with Jesus on the cross. On the one hand, when they hurled insults at him, he didn't retaliate. On the other hand, he entrusted himself to him who would judge. Entrusting in the confidence that God's justice would prevail. Finally, in verse 21, Paul says this, and John opened with it, our service with it. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. We are given a big and a stark alternative. There's no middle way. If we curse, if we repay evil for evil or take revenge, then because all these are evil responses, we've actually given in to that evil, been sucked in, been defeated even, overpowered, and as the word said, overcome. But if we refuse to retaliate, we can instead take the offensive. We're not supposed to be a doormat here. We're not supposed to let the idea of actually not retaliating is, in a sense, just leaving it as if, you know, nothing happened, ignoring it. We're actually supposed to turn it around, be active in our response. Bless our persecutors, as it says in verse 14. Ensure that we ourselves are seen doing good. Active in peacemaking and peacekeeping and leaving all judgment to God. And if we love and serve our enemy and even win him or her over to a better mind, then in these ways we have overcome evil with good. This is difficult stuff. This is a high ideal. And we have to ask, where does our strength come from to do this? Well, like Paul, we have to be incredibly confident in the power of love. What else would make him say these things so compelling, particularly about overcoming evil with good, blessing our persecutors? These words are from a man who is so confident in the power of God's love for him. But it's still difficult for us. I found these words from an American author, which may help.